This is a reversal of the standard sales training that's been around for 100 years, where a sales manager comes into a meeting and says, okay, you guys, we have to educate our customers. No, no, dude. You've reached the era where the customer can educate you. Where do we start this? And the answer doesn't matter. We're having a good time. Right.
He couldn't wait to get in here.
You need sales balls to make sales calls. I'm tweeting that puppy. Okay. Hello, everybody, and welcome to the Sell or Die podcast, the global premier personal development and sales podcast on the planet. My name is Jeffrey Gittimer, author of The Little Red Book of Selling and my newest book, The Sales Manifesto.
And I'm Jen Gluckow, author of Sales in a New York Minute. We are interviewing leaders in business, sales, and personal development to give you the strategies it takes to make more sales and make more money.
Strategies that you can take out into the street and turn into money 1 minute after you hear them.
In a manifesto moment?
Well, no, more like in a New York Minute.
Oh, then. Thank you to all the diehards out there supporting us with listens and five-star reviews.
Be a star on Sell or Die. Leave your own review. Come on. Go to your computer right now. Go to iTunes right now and write down, type down, talk down exactly how you feel about this podcast and how it might affect others.
All right. I want you to enjoy today's show. Take notes and tell us what you think on our Sell or Die Hard official Facebook group.
All right, let's get to it. It's time to sell or die.
It's demo day today on the Sell or Die podcast. And no, we're not destroying anything. We're talking to someone who's here to help us with our sales demos.
Oh.
Greg Dickinson is the founder of Amadim, a company he started to help drag product demos out of the 20th century and into the 21st. Welcome, Greg. We're so glad you're here.
Yeah, I want to dispel a myth.
Uh-huh.
Product demonstrations were never in the 20th century. They were always in the 19th century. They just happened to come into the they drug into the 20th century and didn't change one bit.
Well,
any argument with that so far, Greg?
No arguments at all.
Well, that's good. Then we're good to keep going. So let's get into a little bit of your background and what got you started with helping people with their product demos.
Well, first, thanks for having me today. Looking forward to talking to you guys. I've been in the software industry for about 30 years.
Wow.
Got started in e-commerce back in the early 90s before kind of the invention of the internet, the client service. That dates me big time.
Mm-hmm.
And then just been, you know, interested in high tech and software and, you know, my entire career. And the last, you know, startup that I exited from about 5 years ago, I kind of had this idea. Everything had been automated as far as sales and CRM and marketing automation software and lead gen and demand gen and inside sales. All these technologies were available, but no one had really thought about the demo. And it was kind of the exact same process that I used in 1997 when I joined Ariba was being used today. And you know, if you look at a lot of your guests have and your past guests have talked about, you know, software is bought, not sold, and the change buyer. And I thought, gosh, isn't there a way we can bring, as you said, this software to the 21st century, the demo process? And so that's what I'm working on.
And so having given, I mean, me personally, I've done a lot of demos in the products that I've either manufactured or sold over the years and still do demos, but they tend to be more visual demos, maybe with a slide or two. What's new? How would I go about making a demo in a new way? If I'm selling a copier and I wheel the copier in on a gurney, or I'm selling a medical device and I have a bag full of these medical devices, what do I do different today than I didn't do in 1996?
Yeah, so that you can do that in 1996. The reason being is that in 1996, your buyer was 100% dependent on you, Jeffrey, for everything to learn about that copier or about that medical device. Fast forward to where we are today. Buyers are independent, not dependent. They have multiple sources of where they're going to get their information. They typically do a lot of their research on their own, a lot of the buying on their own. And so you're not there. You're not available to wheel that copier in. They're going to look for that copier on their own. Digitally, they're going to want to know, does it do X? Does it do Y? How does it do this? How does it do that? What are the buying criteria that they're interested in? That's the fundamental shift in the last 10 years of our buyers. And people say all the time, well, buyers have changed. I used to say, so what? Like, who cares? Well, I care because now buyers are doing a lot more of their work on their own, and you're not connected. It was interesting. Gartner came out with a study that said that a buyer's journey, only 5% of their time is spent with you, the salesperson. 95% is on their own. I'm going to tell you, how the heck do they get a software demo if they're only spending 5% of their time with you?
Yeah, okay. I would say, tell me what I don't know.
Yeah.
I mean, if I'm interviewing a salesperson, I don't want to hear a bunch of shit about who they are and where they came from. I want to know how I win. The salesperson feels that if they give a great demo, they're going to create enough interest either to buy or to be able to give a proposal. Do you think that that great demo is still as needed today as it was 10 years ago?
Yes, I believe that. But I believe that now, let's talk about the top of the funnel, right? When that prospect is circling around and looking at and trying to understand, out of the 5 or 10 or 15 different providers of this technology, who are they going to engage with? That's where an automated demo process helps that buyer learn and understand the product before they couldn't do that, right? They're not going to, the bounce rate of a requested demo form on a website is 85%. That means that almost 9 out of 10 people that click on that button to see your product leave. They don't fill it out. So what we're suggesting is, how do we engage with more buyers, more opportunities, so that your salespeople can engage with them down the road?
Okay, so how do you suggest people do that?
Well, that's what we've invented. So we've came up with the way that, if you look at the current technology that will help businesses to automate the demo, it's predominantly a video. 60 minutes long with play, pause, fast forward, and rewind. No one does it. You know, your key point is 13 minutes into the demo, the people are out in 3 minutes. So what we've come up with is a way that you can actually have a conversation with the video, ask a question. I'll find the right digital asset, video, PowerPoint, PDF, and I'll find the exact moment in that video where Jeffrey is talking about how he helps someone close a deal versus the 60 minutes that he's going to talk about selling in general, and there's 12 topics. He's going to talk about 5 minutes each. I'll find the exact moment. So the buyer is able to engage on their own, ask their 4 or 5 questions. Here are the 5 or 10 minutes worth of content, and bounce and go back to what they were doing. And it's very quick and very easy to use.
Wait, so you're saying that the buyer can ask the video a question and the artificial intelligence will fill in the answer?
No, not the artificial intelligence. You record a demo, right? Put it in our technology, and we'll automatically make that demo searchable. So
got
that
it.
When you ask a question, it finds the exact moment.
Holy
of
when
that's that, very cool.
That's way
that
cool.
Feature was being talked about, right? So because the converse is, you know, take a webinar, for example, take this podcast, for example, right? The podcast, you know, the first 3 or 4 minutes, we're chit-chatting about this. Suppose we had a very, you know, person asked a question about how do you do X? And then that was in the 37 minute and 10 seconds. I'll bring them right to that second and allow them to engage and consume that content, and then ask their next question, and then they go on. Because let's face it, right? People don't have 50 questions. They have a handful of questions, especially in the beginning of the sales cycle.
Okay, but here's the deal. This is innovative to a salesperson who doesn't understand that the customer wants to do this research before you arrive to see if you even qualify to take their time.
Exactly. Exactly.
So I want to get back to our diehards who are out there giving product demos. They don't have access to your software. What is the one thing that they need to do? They need, like, the absolute thing that they need to accomplish in a product demo, and how can they do that best?
Yeah. So the key to every demo is tell a story and talk about benefits and value. I would say in the 15, 20 years that I've been giving demos and led a pre-sales team, the predominant way that people fall back to is it's more of a training. Let me show you this feature. And let me talk to you about the length of that field. And oh, you can add this and you can add that. That doesn't, you're expecting the person, your prospect, to connect the dots between a feature and value. What you need to be able to do in a software demo is talk about how this particular set of features helps you accomplish an ROI or close a deal or allows you to onboard your vendors or manage risk, et cetera. And you need to be able to do that in a way that the prospect can automatically understand, wow, this will help my job. This will help me personally. This will help me get promoted. Because that's why they're buying your software. They're not buying it for a list of 75 features in, you know, let's go get Salesforce. I got 1,100 features in Salesforce. What you expect the buyer to figure that out on their own? Or can you tell them, hey, this is how it will help you sell?
Yeah. Let me throw this at you. If I was a salesperson selling software, I would go in to the customer and say, listen, there's two parts to this presentation. Part one is about the outcomes that are being experienced right now that are best for our existing customers. There's five of them. And then I'm going to ask you what your expected outcomes are because they may not match. So let me, at the risk of boring you, I have 3 minutes worth of here's this particular thing that the software does, and I don't want to call it a feature because everybody calls it a feature, but these are the things that the software will do, and this is how our present customers benefit from it. And I even have videos of that if you really want to see. But then I have to find out, is this your use? Because if I don't know what that person's use is, I'm never going to be able to make that sale. I mean, especially...
But wouldn't you find out their use first?
Well...
So take our technology, right? If there's someone on the website and they read some information, Jeffrey, about what you're doing at your particular software company, and they say, gosh, that sounds interesting. I want to see the software. I don't want to touch it. I want to feel it. Right then, they're instantaneously be able to ask five questions. Guess what we do? We grab all five of those questions and push it into your back-end CRM activity. So now you know Greg Dickinson was on the website, and this is what Greg was interested in. So I do auto-discovery of that buyer experience so that you as a salesperson are now educated and aware of who I am and what I was interested in, what videos did I watch, how long did I watch it, et cetera, right? So I am, again, you have to think through the buyer's journey in the beginning. You may not even be able to talk to that buyer because they're out doing things like looking at different websites, right? And different data and different companies. Let's engage them. And let's let them tell you what they're interested in. And if it's a fit, you're jumping on the phone with them saying, gosh, I'm glad you asked those questions. That's our strong suit. This is our differentiation. This is what we do, right? It's very, very useful.
This is a reversal of the standard sales training that's been around for 100 years, where a sales manager comes into a meeting and says, okay, you guys, we have to educate our customers. No, dude. You've reached the era where the customer can educate you. And by using that particular software, you actually are educating the salesperson as to where to go in a presentation so that it is 100% productive.
Yeah. And personal, right? So think about it. You're hitting the nail on the head. If you had a, listen, I've done this. I've been selling for 25 years, right? You walk into me and let me tell you about who we are. And I'm going to show you some damn logos and you know where my offices are, et cetera. Guess what? In today's world,
I already found that out.
Have the internet, so do sellers. They already do that. They went to Glassdoor. They know your culture. They know your office. They know who your people. I know what your turnover is. They know everything about you, right? They're wanting to engage with you because they've already put you through the gauntlet of information criteria as to who you are. Sellers that start there are actually insulting the buyer.
So it seems like your program is collecting so much information about what the buyer is interested in. And I'm curious to know, what are the trends that you're seeing that salespeople should be paying attention to? What do buyers seem to be wanting the most information about?
Yeah.
Everyone needs a little help, even if you have trouble admitting it. You need sales help. It doesn't matter how long you've been in sales. The more you learn, the more you earn. If your sales need help, it's time to consider the Gittimer Learning Academy. It's the fun and easy way to brush up on sales fundamentals and learn new advanced strategies to close your next deal. We've got hundreds of hours of lessons on closing, referrals, prospecting. It's like Jeffrey sitting there right next to you, helping you close your next deal. you won't find a more comprehensive library of sales knowledge that you can actually use. Go to GittimerLearningAcademy.com and sign up for a free demo. Did I mention it's free? Free demo. I like free.
Well, the most telling statistic that we've captured so far is that 42% of all of our buyers are looking to do a demo before 9 and after 6. So think about the fact that the buyers have a day job and it's hard to engage with buyers, hard to get through to them. They're actually doing their homework, their research on the train on the way to Jersey City.
Yep.
They're getting on the train. They're taking a demo on their own. So that's the first statistic that kind of surprised me, to be honest with you, after tens of thousands of demos in our analytics, is the fact that a lot of buyers have day jobs, right? And they want to do their work, not when you want it to do. A scheduled demo at 2 o'clock in the afternoon doesn't suit them. So that's number one.
And if you missed the station in Jersey City, you're in Manhattan.
you're underwater. Your Penn Station's next stop.
Yeah, right. Exactly.
So what?
But they have a great Krispy Kreme donut shop at Penn Station, so
they
it may
do.
Not be that bad.
They do. And it's right there, too, by the exit.
Please don't remind me. Yeah.
Yeah. All right. And what's the next thing?
So the next thing is that we find that buyers ultimately are looking at asking questions, right, about success, right, and how that software is used by other people. So the kind of this notion of I think Amazon has done a really good job of educating us that referrals and content and commenting and stars and so forth, that's not 100% in B2B today, but we do see a trend that buyers are saying, hey, could you walk me through a case study or two, right? And actually hear that customer testimonial, see that customer testimonial and engage with understanding, you know, if you got 20 customers, are any of them doing what I'm doing by asking a question, has anyone used it for this? Has anyone used it for that? So we see a lot of that being used as well. And lastly, we see a lot of understanding of implementation. How long does it take? How does it kind of work, right? So that they get that high level understanding of what the software is, which is pretty telling, because a lot of times, back to your earlier question, a lot of times people start the demo in a very technical, right, detailed way. And what buyers are really saying is, at the highest level, walk me through how it works and what value and benefits I can get. And then I want to understand, are others doing this as well? Or am I unique and different, right? And because people kind of have a pack mentality.
But shouldn't that already be embedded in the salesperson's story, where they're coming to the table and talking about someone who's just like you that saw success from it?
Yeah, but understand what I'm suggesting is that a lot of that work is if the research suggests that 50, 60, 70% of your homework is done before you talk to the salesperson, right? Where do they get that information from? They don't pick up the phone day one and say, wow, I really am interested in podcast management software. Let me call Jeffrey right now because he sells that. No, I'm going to do a whole bunch of work, understand who the heck sells podcast management software, and then understand, is their use case like mine? Jeffrey has a production crew. I don't. Maybe the software Jeffrey's using is not what I want to use. So they want to learn that on their own before they engage further down the funnel with, hey, now I want to get specifics and ask you some more detailed questions. Does that make sense?
Yeah, totally.
It does. I want to know, from your perspective, is a case study better than a video?
No, because people don't read today.
Right. So, but case study has been the IT a gold standard for a long time. Like, they want to see that case. They want to see, like, the written proof that this isn't bullshit.
Yeah.
But I'd rather see an IT guy sitting in his room and spinning around and going, you know, I've been using the software for 6 months. It's the best thing we've ever done. We had to throw out this, this, and this to make room for it.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Because, I mean, if you look at the average watch time on YouTube is 2 minutes and 37 seconds, right? You look at the statistics that say that HubSpot did this research, right? And I heard the CEO say this on stage. I haven't found it and read it yet, but I've heard it. Said that they did a comparison. They wrote the best copy they possibly could for their website, and they did a video of the same exact copy. 9 out of 10 people watched it instead of reading it. Watching is much better retained and learned. So if your use cases are more of someone talking to you and showing even better, right, then you are much more likely to believe that. And that's who we are today. White paper consumption is down, right? People don't like to read 3 or 4 or 5 pages of that use case. They want to see it. want to hear it.
I don't disagree. Now, one other correction or suggestion that I have is you're talking about value and feature. Is that, did I say that right? Or value and benefit? Okay. I want to know about outcome. I want to know about what's going to happen after I buy this and install it. Are my people going to feel great about it? Are they going to fucking hate it? You know, are they frustrated by it, or are they loving it? And that's, you know, half the as you know, CRM is the most purchased, least used software in the history of mankind. And the reason is that it's cumbersome and not understandable, and they don't feel that it's helping them make a sale.
Right, right.
That's the outcome. That's their expected outcome. I'm going to use the CRM because my boss has his foot up my butt to do it, but the end of it has to be, I got to make a sale.
Yeah. And I think, you know, that you're exactly right. Right. So if I say value and benefits, I, in my mind, that's what I'm thinking of, the benefit, the outcome, right? Like in our software, when I talk to a CMO, I talk about the outcome is you'll find your bounce rate decreases substantially. You'll find that the dwell time of your prospects increase. You'll find that you'll give, in most of our customers' cases, 100 to 200 more demos per month, or on a percentage basis, 100% more interaction than you did last month. That's an outcome. Now you've kind of found, if the bounce rate was 85%, there's a whole bunch of people that you're not engaged with. Let's engage with 3% of those. Now you've found the black web, if you will. You've found those anonymous users. That's the outcome. If you're a salesperson and you're asked for a demo within the first 2 minutes of the call, and your response in the past was, yeah, but I got to get you to talk to someone. We'll have to do a discovery call. I have to set this up. And how does next month look?
Oh my God.
You lost that buyer. You've lost them, right? Yeah. So
I'll be there in 10 minutes. I'm going to make that sale.
Yeah. Right. I'm going to give you a demo right now. I have you on the phone. Great. You're at your computer. Boom, bam, it's done. Right. And by the way, you can come back to it anytime you want and ask whatever questions you want. And we're available, and I'll follow up with you in 3 or 4 days. Boom. Right. People are now, they're not, the scheduling concept of next week is just, you know, not getting it done. I think Harvard study suggested if you can't respond in 5 minutes, the likelihood of landing that as a prospect are 20x less. That's a big deal.
Yeah.
We're instant. So, and just we get our leads on the phone sometimes, you know, from web, whatever, and we get messages, and I'll respond to somebody at midnight.
Yeah.
Exactly.
And it blows. The first word out of their mouth is, wow.
Yeah.
So there's a rumor that software companies are starting to ditch a lot of their salespeople, and I'm wondering what you think is causing that shift.
Yeah, I'm not sure I see that same ditch. What I see is that you've found that like our customers use us to augment, right? Make the sales team more effective, more efficient. Pre-sales engineers now can concentrate and focus on those highly scripted, customized end-of-funnel demos, not the show up and throw up demos that are at the top of the funnel. So we find them to make them more efficient and effective, right, and more productive, and helping them to engage better. But, you know, if buyers are spending less time with sales, ultimately we're going to need less of them.
So what should a sales rep be doing to ensure their value?
So I think salespeople need to be cognizant of the fact that that bunch of BS, right, and a bunch of non-personalized messaging and conversation is not going to get it done. Your time is very, very short. So make sure you make the best of it, you know, during that time, and not, you know, BS somebody or not be prepared, right? I've been on calls, you've been on calls, and you get someone, you talk to the inside salesperson, right? And they ask you a whole bunch of questions. And supposedly they're recording it and they're writing it down, et cetera. Then tomorrow, next week, salesperson calls you and says, Greg, first of all, tell me, why are you interested in our stuff? I just answered that question last week, gosh darn it. Like, what's wrong with you? Why are you wasting my time? You're immediately defensive.
Yeah. Right. No, you're thinking douchebag.
Okay, it's your podcast.
But that's what you're thinking. Yeah. Like, why is this person asking me this question?
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. I had somebody call me last week from the telephone company, and she goes, a senior person, she goes, well, what seems to be the issue? I said, are you calling me because you don't know? I mean, didn't somebody tell you? I don't want to talk about what's the issue. I want to talk about what's the answer.
Right. What's the solution? Right. And I think to your question is that's where, you know, gosh, the A's and the B's and the C players, right? The A players are sharpening their axe, and they're thinking constantly, how do I make, if I got 5 minutes, I can't spend the first three talking about myself.
Right.
Because now I've hurt myself. But yet, you know, a lot of salespeople just aren't changing and understanding that the buyer has changed. I mean, think about a car. You know, I always use this analogy that, you know, Uber and the yellow cab in New York City are exactly the same. It's a ride from point A to point B, but Uber made the buying experience a hell of a lot easier, right? And they win. If you look at Netflix and Blockbuster, the buying experience is what made the difference. It's the same damn movie that you could have rented, right? You're renting a movie. It's the same movie, but Netflix made that experience much more pleasant, much more experience, much more top of mind. Boom, they win. And win in a big way, by the way.
They're winning.
That's where things are going.
That's what they refer to it in this market as disruption. But it's a misnomer. What they're calling it is winning move.
Yeah.
You know, Amazon makes winning moves. Uber makes winning moves. I can see that little car coming around the corner. I know exactly where that guy is. The taxi, I don't know whether he's coming on Tuesday or Wednesday.
Yeah. And, you know, and you don't know if you got him, you see him, you wave to him, he waved back, and then someone jumps in front of you and takes a damn cab, right? That's not a pleasant experience.
That's
and
part of the deal.
It's called upstreaming. Before. I've done it.
Yeah.
And so
I love that. So it's what part of New York.
So, you know, I think that's where, you know, where we're starting to see, like your previous guest that talked about, you know, software is bought, not sold. There's a lot of companies now, Zoom and Slack and Expensify, have really figured out a way to make software bought, not sold. I think that's the minority of software today. It's going to become the majority. And that's the transition of where people are going. Ultimately, if you could go to a website and understand anything about a software, a technical product on your own through your own experience and buy, you would.
But here's the deal.
Carvana has made it so we can buy a car without going to a car lot.
Totally. Diehards, listen to this. The reason you use Slack and the reason you use Zoom is two words. It works. And if it works for you and we're on a Zoom call right now.
Mm-hmm.
And the reason that we do it is because we know it works. We have confidence that it's going to work, and it's been historically working. And if you're out there trying to demo your product or sell your product or convince somebody to buy your product, dude, it's got to work better than everybody else's product or you're screwed.
Exactly. Exactly. No tolerance anymore, right? People, and that's another thing that you look at the research, and that people, you know, software gets changed every 7 years, and people have, if they're, you know, GoToMeeting or WebEx or some of the other technology that were out there weren't working to your expectations. Zoom comes along, you say, what the hell, I'll give it a shot. And boom, like you said, it works flawlessly every time. I keep using it. My team uses it. I got a bigger license today than I did, you know, 2 years ago. So you're spot on there. Spot on there.
But there are so many SaaS companies now that all work. And so if you're trying to displace someone that's already out there, what do you recommend in terms of strategy? Because your company may work, and the next company that the customer is already using may work. So do you have like a displacement strategy?
Well, I don't know much as displacement. Of course, I'm biased and I'm selfish here, that I think you have to be providing, right? You have to be thinking and focused on that buyer journey, not so much on the sales journey, because they're not aligned right now. And so we're out advocating to the early adopters, the customers, saying, worry about the buyer's journey. And by the way, the buyer wants to see the product second one, not week later, not month later. They want to see it right now. Accommodate that buyer. A happy buyer is much more likely to buy from you. And if they engage with you first, they're much more likely to buy from you by a tune of 2-1. So that's where we're, again, I'm selfish and I'm biased, but we're starting to see more and more companies are figuring out buyer enablement. It's pretty damn important.
I agree. I totally agree. But if I came into the marketplace right now, Zoom is clearly the leader because it works. And not everybody knows about it. Somebody said, well, I like Skype. I say, yeah, Skype is just like Zoom, except Zoom works.
Yeah.
And but if I come out with Va Va Voom as a...
That sounds way more fun. Let's go on Va Va Voom.
As an alternative to Zoom, I have to be able to prove that it's better than Zoom, and Zoom is pretty damn good.
Yep, yep.
And Lyft came out against Uber, and all they had was price. And it's not quite as good, I don't think.
No.
And people, you know, but they're trying like hell to be able to compete with Uber. Oh, yeah, we're just like Uber. Well, fuck it. If it's just like Uber, I'll take an Uber.
Right, right. And that's never been a good strategy, right? I used to love the read the counseling and the self-help on, you know, on a on a VC deck, right? So you're talking about you're going to be the next YouTube, or you're the next this. No, well, if you are, then they'll just keep winning.
Right, exactly.
What makes it so next, right? I mean, I think what we're happy about is the fact that we're kind of, it's hard, right? But we're spearheading and disrupting to the point of the demo has been a face-to-face or over the wire one-on-one presentation for the last 25 years. And now all of a sudden the technology allowing the video to be searchable has allowed companies to start to think about it and look at it. How do I serve up those snippets of content that Jeffrey wants in a way that allows him to pull it down? Let me push, you know, content to you and have this, the spray and pray is not working. Let Jeffrey pull what he's interested in, and then let's use that to further our conversation and our sales strategy.
So diehards, listen to it this way. You're taking the mechanics of a demo and putting it in terms of the customer's ease of purchase. They want certain things and they want them now, or they wouldn't be fiddling around with it. They're not wasting their time going, geez, I wonder what's out there with this. No, they want it, or for the most part, they want it.
Yep.
And this is software that will actually help them want even more. I mean, that's part of the deal. It affirms the want and puts them in a buy situation.
Yeah. Well, this has been great. Greg, where should people go to find out more about you and Amadim?
So make it easy. So Amadim is my demo spelled backwards. So in case you forget how to spell Omedy.
Oh, my goodness. So my homonym doesn't work. My homonym doesn't work.
Very cool.
Yeah, well, I'm not that bright of a guy, so I had to think of something that I could always remember and know how to pronounce. So yeah, my demo spelled backwards is Amadim.com. Hey, listen, come engage with us. Let's have a conversation. We're pioneering something new. We'd love to hear what your thoughts are, your comments, so we can always make this better. Because you know what? As Jeffrey said, it has to work.
Cool. Thank you so much for joining us today.
Loved it. Thank you.
So back in the day when I was at an educational software company and I was spending 20% of my time doing sales and 80% of my time doing other stuff, I started out by figuring out what was the thing I could do that would cost me the least amount of time but be most effective. And what I realized that was that unlike the other salespeople who were going around and traveling and spending time in their car and spending time on planes to get from appointment to appointment, I could just set up demos back to back to back to back. And on those demos, I used WebEx at the time because that was the best out there. But, you know, I could show them what they would be getting. I could show them the impact that they could have in their lives from the educational software we were creating. So my boss couldn't believe how much dollars I was bringing in just 20% of my time. And he basically forced me onto the sales team, which was fine because I wanted to go there anyway. And what I did was I basically created an inside sales position for myself because there was no one else doing this at the company, where I would call on specific accounts and demo to them. Now, it doesn't sound that revolutionary, but at the time it was, because every single person in the company was outside sales. So what the first thing I would do when I would get on this demo with the buyer is, and I would have some users come along as well, I would make sure that the right people were on that call, is I would say, okay, imagine if. And I would start to describe a student, and I would literally like stop myself and I would say, wait a minute, you work with these kinds of students all day long. Now I want you to think about a specific student in one of your classes. You don't have to tell me their names, but let's go through this as if you're working with the student right now. And I made the data, I made the product, the solution, all about them. And so what we did was we would go through the exam like we normally would, and as if a student was sitting there, they would punch in the data, and then at the end of it, it would pop out a result. And before I would even hit the submit button to get the result, I would say, okay, what normally happens right now in your process? And they would tell me, oh, we sit there, we spend 10 to 15 minutes actually calculating what needs to be done, and then after we calculate it, Then we have to go find the right instruction to teach to the student based on their score. And I'm like, watch this. And I would literally hit the button and it would give them not only the calculation within a matter of seconds, because it was just, you know, data being punched into machine, but it would also tell them exactly what to instruct their students right now for what the score was and what they needed. And it was like, oh my God, I didn't tell them about how much time they could save. I didn't try to prove to them, well, look, Susie at the other school, she saves 60 hours a week from using XYZ. I showed them. And it took me under 30 minutes to show them exactly how I could change their lives, to the point where every single person at the end of the demo wanted the product. And now they were on a mission, because it was schools, to find the money to buy it.
So diehards, what you just heard was an example of how to make the buyer desire to purchase based on personalization, not based on something that your marketing department figured out. And I'm challenging you that when you go into a customer's place of business, they know so much information about your product right now that they don't need your demo. They need to know the outcome. They need to know what's going to happen after they purchase. And they've probably done enough research to where you could walk in without insulting them and saying, do you want to buy now or did you want to hear the pitch? And you put yourself in a winning position, number one, with your self-confidence, but number two, if you can personalize it during that demonstration, you're going to win it. But the key is to understand what they want, what their outcome is. And Jen just gave you the classic example of understanding what the customer really wants, number one. Number two, understanding what their frustration is. And number three, them understanding the aha when they see the outcome. Do that, book sales, make money.
I just want to back up for 1 second. I never would have been able to do that had I not spent days in schools understanding exactly how teachers used our products, how principals viewed the data, and how schools that didn't have our solutions, what they did. So I really did my homework. I spent like a week outside of my job just really analyzing how this could be used. So if you don't get in the minds of your buyer, you don't understand how they're going to use it or what's going to happen if they don't use it, you're going to have a much harder time selling. But if you do all those things and you really sit down with them, take them to lunch, understand why they use it, how it helps them, that kind of thing, then you can talk to the next buyer's struggle.
This emphasizes one of the most key points that is totally overlooked in the sales marketplace. You don't train salespeople in a classroom anymore. You train people at their customers.
Yes.
If you can train them at their customer's place of business, you're going to win. And if you don't, you're going to lose. You're going to lose to someone who understands how the customer uses your product in real world, or how they could use your product in real world to benefit them. That's all they care about. They don't care about you. They don't care about your company. They don't even care about your product. They only care about themselves and what they need to have happen in their business.
100%. And if you want to write a sales sequence to get those cold emails out there and then follow up with cold calls and really get through to the buyer, use their own language. Ask them when you're meeting with them, the ones that are actually working with you, if you can record what they're saying. Then go to Temi or go to Rev for a cent a minute or 10 cents a minute. I don't know. It's freaking cheap. You can literally, in under $10, transcribe what they just said, turn that into sales copy, okay? Because you're using their language. If they relate to it, that means the next person down the street's going to relate to it too. Use their language around how you can help them, how you can serve them, and I promise that's going to win. All right, well, until next time, I'm Jen Gluckow.
And I'm Jeffrey Gittimer, and we have given lessons to each other today, but I hope you will use them to get out there and make a demo sale, even if your ass falls off.
The This has been a presentation of the Sell or Die Network. For more podcasts that you can take out into the street and turn into money, visit sellordienetwork.com.